Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
Now on the programme, we can speak to another election 2016 candidate. Today we're joined by 48-year-old David Fowler, who's standing in the two-seat constituency of Douglas South. Good afternoon, David. Welcome to the programme.
Hello, Pastor Mai.
Good to see you. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
I'm David Fowler. I'm a 48-year-old self-employed businessman. I'm engaged to be married to my partner, Cara. I've basically been self-employed all my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that you're not indigenous to Douglas South.
No, originally from Surrey and now living in Douglas.
And how long have you been in Douglas?
Six years.
6 years.
Yes.
Okay. Why do you want to be a member of the House of Keys?
Well, basically, I think it could be run a lot better, and I don't think the candidates in my constituency have enough sort of forthright policies to get things done, you know.
Okay. You say that you're a businessman. I think you're a gardener, aren't you?
That's right, self-employed gardening business, yes.
Okay, but I mean, some people are suggesting that what we want are some brilliant minds to steer us through the next 5 years. I'm sure you do have a brilliant mind, but, you know, people might say, well, do we really need a gardener to be in charge of £1 billion,
I've got a very good mind. I've got an IQ of 164.
Well,
I've always done my own business accounts all my life. I have my own investment portfolio. I check the markets every day. I know what's going on, and I'm business minded, you know.
Okay. And do you think that those are talents that could come in useful as an MHK?
Most definitely, I think, you know.
Okay.
Yes.
You say that your main objective is to make sure that taxes are spent efficiently. Where do you think that they're not being spent efficiently now?
Most areas, really. We're sort of management top heavy. We're spending too much money on external consultants. You know, we should empower more of our own managerial and technical staff to do the consulting, rather than paying out for huge amounts of money for external consultants.
Do you think that is because anybody in the Isle of Man who has an idea about anything is usually shouted down by experts, and that it's often easier to get an external consultant in who just gives us an arm's length view of things?
Possibly, but it's very expensive, and if we keep spending our money the rate we are, the Isle of Man will be bankrupt. We've got to make tough decisions and make efficiencies and grow the economy and everything to help the Isle of Man, otherwise it would be bust.
So you want us to save money and make money. How do you do the two things side by side?
Well, to save money, there's lots of things you can do. As I've said, like, we're too management top heavy, we've got too many external consultants.
But isn't that just an easy target to say that we're over heavy in terms of management? I mean, are we over heavy? Have you got anything to actually prove that point, that we've got too many managers? Because the departments would probably say, well, actually, no, you know, the rostering that we've got is what's always been agreed to, and it's what we need to do the job efficiently.
Well, that's what my belief is. I haven't gone through it with a fine-tooth comb, but I mean, there's lots of ways for efficiencies. Like, You may or may not remember further back in 2010, they were saying about the airport, it could be run on commercial lines. That would save $2 million a year. So if I got elected and just changed that would be £10 million saving in my 5-year term, and that would be a very good thing, you know.
But there is a cost to everything, and the fact is that the airport is owned by the government. It is run as a commercial operation, obviously. But, you know, if it was sold to a private operator, then the costs of everything would go up down there. Car parking would possibly double, landing fees would go up. You know, the whole thing would be far more expensive for air travellers to use. So, you know, it's not just a win-win situation, is it?
Yeah, but it's not. There's lots of factors with that. The directors and managers are on huge salaries above commercial rates. A lot of the money efficiencies would be cutting their salaries down to realistic levels. You know, they're paid too much, and also there would be some increases and some decreases. Like, you would get your free half hour parking back, but longer stay parkers would have to pay a little bit more, you know.
Okay. You want to see what you call vital services maintained, but you also say that we've got to stay a low-tax jurisdiction. Mm. There's only so much money to go around, so how would you pay for these services?
Well, as I say, if you make efficiencies, there's more money in the pot to put towards other things.
Okay, but efficiencies, would you not concede that the government that we've had for the last 5 years has probably looked at every single area that it can squeeze an extra few quid out of the system, including saving money on salaries and things like that, and it's not been able to do it? So do you think it's that easy?
Not completely. They've made a good start. You know, they've started looking at it, but there's still a long way to go, I think, really.
All right. You say that you'd like to see a community centre created for Annika and Paul Rose. Why do you think that's necessary? Would people use it? And what about the rest of the island? Are all your policies based on your patch?
No, that's if you look through my manifesto, I've got a very thorough manifesto for the whole nation. That's just a few little ideas for my constituency, you know.
Okay. And I mean, is this based on talking to people on the doorstep, that people say there needs to be some sort of a community centre there?
Yes, I've had that, and things I've read about my community and things, there seems to be a consensus that there needs to be a community centre. I mean, I think some people have said maybe there should be one for Annika and Paul Rose. I think maybe have one somewhere halfway between, like a joint one, which would probably be cheaper to run than having two separate ones as well.
Well, I think that there was talk some years ago about having a community centre. One of the MHKs in the area was very keen on the idea, but I think it stumbled at the final hurdles.
Yeah, the council blocked it. They wouldn't release the land, would they? Because I think it was just behind the Heron pub or something like that.
That sort of area, I seem to remember, yeah.
Yes.
You'd like to see national wealth creation. What does that mean? Who would you like to see wealth created for, and how would you encourage it?
I'd like to see it created for everyone, every living soul on the island, you know. How would I do that? Growing the economy. We could have a theme park here.
Okay.
There's got to be somewhere on the island where we could put a theme park. Get Merlin Entertainment over here to finance it and everything.
With
and
that, respect, they probably wouldn't even consider building a theme park in the Isle of Man. These things cost millions.
I think they certainly would. We're a big enough island to support that sort of thing.
And 85,000 people, yeah. That's not enough people to support a theme park. You know, you're talking about theme parks in the UK that have got a catchment area of tens of millions of people.
Well, you think... you've got the Legoland down in Windsor. That gets a couple of million visitors a year. Why would people travel all the way down to Windsor from the north of the country if they could just nip across to the Isle of Man?
Because you've got it exactly wrong, surely. They can nip down to Windsor fairly easily down the motorway to come to the Isle of Man. It's going to cost them a fortune on a boat or an aeroplane.
If you want to be stuck in a three-hour traffic jam, I've been on that motorway. It's you can't nip anywhere on the motorway nowadays. It's all jammed up.
But still, you know, a lot of people say we need this, we need that. Surely economies of scale mean that there are certain things that we're never going to have.
Well, we need to debate it and see if Merlin Entertainment would be willing to come here. It's certainly a worthwhile thing, because if we could get one here, it would be a great boost to the economy and the tourist industry and everything.
Okay.
And we could also have like a sea life centre, you know, with tropical fish and dolphins and things at the old marine laboratory in Port Erin. There again, that's Merlin Entertainment would do that if we can get them over here. And I know in the past there's been a lot of localism where people haven't wanted people bringing their money here if they're outside of the island, because someone told me years ago Centre Parks wanted to come here and the localists turned them away because they're not Manx. You know, we need to forget that. We need to get people from the UK, China, across the world, anyone who's willing to invest and locate here, you know.
Well, you've said that you'd like to see work continue to increase investment from China and the rest of the world, China particularly.
Yes.
It looks at the moment as though the UK government is trying to distance itself from deals with China, this Hinkley Point power station. It looks as though Theresa May is actually taking a step back from that because there are concerns about doing too many deals with China, getting into bed with China, because, you know, they're still seen as a nation that isn't always thinking about the best interests of the UK.
Yeah. Well, I think China is a very wealthy country, and it would be silly to not want to do deals with them. They've got the money, and if they want to do investments here, bring them over, you know.
So investment in the island at any cost is what you're saying?
For the improvement of the Isle of Man and the economy and everything.
All right. You say that Tynwald could be promoted more. In what way? How could you promote Tynwald more? And why would you want to promote Tynwald more?
Because it's a unique thing, isn't it? It's over 1,000 years old. It's the oldest parliament in the world, and we should be boasting about it. We should, you know, be completely proud and patriotic.
Okay, but do you think that holidaymakers or whoever would be interested in our method of government?
Certainly, I think so, yes. I mean, I'm not saying anyone would come over specifically for that. They wouldn't come over specifically for a theme park, but it's all these things together which make it a package.
Okay, but I mean, you say that people need to be prouder. I would suggest that any Manx-born person is very proud of Tynwald and Tynwald Day, you know, July the 5th,
yes.
The National Day, people are madly proud about it.
Yes, I agree with that. You know, I think we're a very, very proud nation.
Okay. You'd like to see the island reserves built up, wouldn't we all? But how could you do that and maintain services at the same time?
Well, as I've said, we need efficiencies, and we need to grow the economy, you know.
Okay. All right, so give me some more ideas then for growing the economy, because it's easy to say I've got the answers to all the island's problems. We need to grow the economy, we need government to make more money, and it needs to spend less money.
Yeah.
We can all say that.
Yeah.
But how would you achieve any of those things realistically?
Well, I mean, other efficiencies. I mean, scrutinise all government workers, scrutinise their salaries, scrutinise their pensions. It's got to be done. As I say, the Isle of Man will be bust in the future if we don't take actions, you know.
But those actions would need to be fairly draconian to save a significant amount of money. So are you happy with the idea of a lot of the people that you're hoping are going to vote for you might end up on the dole because of the actions that you're looking at?
No, I don't think people would be on the dole. I think there'd be more jobs here if we had a theme park and other things like that. We would grow the economy. We would have more jobs.
You say that the taxation and welfare systems have got to be fully integrated.
Yes.
What about universal means testing for everything then?
Yeah, I completely agree with that, because I mean, some people might be getting benefits they don't need. They could be earning 50k a year or more and still getting the benefits. Maybe if we had more thoroughly integrated means testing, we could have more money in the pot, so the people on the breadline might be able to get more money to help them out if there was more money on the table, you know.
Treasury would say that that's what they're trying to sort of, that's what they've been trying to get towards for some time, to make sure that those who really need help get it and those that don't get it. But, you know, similarly, you've got a situation where somebody's been very prudent all their life, they've managed to scrimp and save, never gone into debt. Why should they lose benefits when they get to a certain age or into a certain situation in their life? Why should they not get benefits because they've managed to save a few quid?
Because, as I say, if we don't take some actions now, the island could be bankrupt in the future, you know, because, I mean, the Treasury Minister announced that they're going to balance the books in 6 years. That's after taking another 200 million out of the reserve. And a couple of years later, the public pension fund will be dry, and then they'll be plundering the reserve to pay the public pensions if we don't get things sorted out now. There's not going to be any money to do anything with.
You're saying that we've got to do whatever it takes to actually balance the books?
Yes, within reason. It's all got to be debated and worked out, really.
Well, it has, but I sometimes wonder about, how much difference would-be politicians think that they can make. If you're elected in September, what real difference can you make?
I think I'd make a big difference.
How would you do it?
Well, I've already said a lot of things, if I got the airport commercialised, that would save, in my term, £10 million for a start.
But you couldn't make that decision. You'd have to take it to the Keys and Tynwald and it would have to be voted on. And let's presume, I don't know, but let's presume that more people voted against it than voted for it. So that's out the window. What do you do next?
There's lots of things. I think also... This business with the public pensions, we've got to freeze the benefits now for the public pensions. But not only that, I've heard stories that a lot of the pension fund is just in a bank account with very, very low interest on it. We should be maybe looking to, invest in gold reserves and maybe looking at investing in undervalued companies. Not all of it, but more than we are now.
Is this the public sector pension deficit that you're talking about?
Yes.
My understanding is that there's no pot as such that this is being paid for now by people's contributions now.
Oh, that's what I heard was the public pension pot would be dry by 2022. That's what I've heard.
Right. You might be right. I think there might be a reserve fund there somewhere. You say in your questionnaire answer that you want to be a member of the House of Keys because you care passionately about the Isle of Man. You want to help improve the economy, the environment and services and people's lives of the Isle of Man. Well, so do 95% of us. So what makes you worth electing?
Because I've got the passion and the energy to drive it forward. The other candidates just seem to be like watching paint dry. They don't have the enthusiasm.
With respect, I don't really want to talk about other candidates.
I'm not naming any names,
You're looking for full employment in the island. Is that a realistic ambition?
Possibly. We're down to about 700 unemployed. It's certainly feasible.
But surely there'll always be people who can't work or won't work.
Possibly, Possibly.
All right.
When I say that, I mean as close to full as possible,
Yeah.
I don't think there's a country in the world that's got zero, is there? You know what I mean, but...
Okay. You talked earlier on about the thought of maybe some sort of a theme park would enhance our economy. What other areas do you think could enhance our economy? How can we attract more business from off-island? What USPs have we got? What unique selling points have we got to people? Say you're running a manufacturing company in Manchester or Leeds or somewhere like that, or an IT company in Carlisle.
Yeah.
What would get those people to move to the island?
The low tax. We're a low tax jurisdiction, and that is a very good reason for companies to invest and locate here. It's open for them, really.
But surely they all know that. Any company that's got an accountant must know that there are low tax routes that they could go down if they're making profit.
Yes, I agree. But I think in the past, some people have been turned away. As I say, a classic example is Centre Parks.
Allegedly.
Mm.
Okay. You're not in favour of independence from the UK at present.
No.
Some people do like the idea of independence. I think most of the politicians that I've spoken to say it wouldn't be a good move for us, looking at it pragmatically. So is it something that you think should be considered in the future?
Yeah, it should certainly be considered and debated in the future. We could maybe be independent 10 or 15 years down the line, I don't know. But I think really at the moment to think about that is premature, because we need to sort out the Brexit, because we don't want to go independent and then get left out of the Protocol 3 treaty and things, do we? We want to make sure...
Well, I presume that Protocol 3 will disappear as soon as Britain's out of the EU,
I don't know. I think... Hopefully, we should get a renegotiated Protocol 3 treaty.
But isn't Protocol 3 our route into Europe via the UK as our sort of sponsors?
Yes.
So if the UK is not in the European Union, then there's no conduit, is there?
No, because the divorce of the EU, you don't just sign the divorce and there's nothing there. You renegotiate it and you keep the bits you want and kick out all the nasty bits, you know. So there's no reason we shouldn't have continue to have free trade, because I mean, it's in both our interests. Because how many French and German cars do the British and the Manx buy? If they impose tariffs on us, we impose tariffs on them, and it's just tit for tat. So it's better to negotiate and have free trade. It's better for both sides.
Well, let's hope that everybody else decides that as well. Your answer to a lot of the questions has been, well, that'd have to be something that, you know, was debated, or you know, isn't that exactly the same as the criticism that you levelled earlier on about that, you know, politicians at the moment consult people too much?
Not really. I mean, as I say, efficiencies have to be made, because we don't have enough money to go around, and if we keep spending it at the level we are, the country will be bankrupt in some time in the future, you know.
Okay. You also say that the island needs more legislation that's unique to the Isle of Man rather than just following the UK and Europe. What do you think we particularly need in the Isle of Man that we've not got via UK or Europe?
I don't know, really. I've not gone over it with a fine-tooth comb as yet, but we do have an awful lot of reciprocal agreements, you know, and we should really be looking at making our own rules rather than just copying everyone else's.
But reciprocal agreements are usually in our favour. It usually means that we're getting something out of somebody else in return for doing something for them.
They can be, but I mean, a lot of it's tied in with Europe, you know, the red tape, the Health and Safety Act and things like that. We can trim that down in the future.
You know. Say that you'd like to see work experience provided for people out who work for more than 6 months. How could you motivate people to take that up? Would you reduce benefits if they refuse to do it, or
quite possibly? Yes, that's something that could, there again, that's something that could be debated and could happen in the future, but obviously you have to form allegiances with other members of the House.
Okay. You'd like a review of legislation including health and safety. What aspects of that should be reviewed, do you think?
Quite a lot of it. But as I say, that may need to wait till after the Brexit or something like that. But because I know the UK and partly the Isle of Man spend billions every year adhering to these European rules, and some are necessary, yes, but there's an awful lot that are just in the way and costing money.
Give me an example of what's in the way and costing money.
I can't really. There's just a directory full of it. You know, you'd just have to go over it with a fine-tooth comb.
All right. You support an all-island rating system, apparently. Would that be fair to somebody who lives out in the wilds of Wanney, you know, paying the same rates as somebody who lives next to all the facilities in Douglas, for example?
Yes, because, I mean, it's a small country, the Isle of Man, and everyone that lives here, or most people, take advantages of the facilities in Douglas. So it would be fairer if you put all the figures into a computer and averaged it out, so everyone paid the same sort of money.
The same rates.
The same rates.
But do you not think that people out in the countryside would feel aggrieved by that, no? I think that they've got the same access to...
I mean, they wouldn't want to pay more, no one would, but is it fair that people in Douglas pay the highest rates?
Okay. You're not a supporter of a reduced drink drive limit, which is quite interesting.
Yes.
Because most politicians are outraged at the thought of anybody having a half pint and getting behind the wheel. You're not that bothered about it.
I don't think so, because they've already debated this in the UK, and it doesn't look like they're going down the line of Scotland. Because, I mean, as far as I'm aware, nobody has caused serious accidents from driving within the legal limit. I mean, it's about, to be safe, if you go into a pub or restaurant, it's a pint of average beer or a glass of wine. And, I mean, you know, if you drop the limit below that, people won't go in the pubs and restaurants, and it'll affect the economy, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, talking about things like pubs, you're in favour of changing the buses in the island. Give me an idea about what you mean by that.
Well, I see too many large buses double deckers, single deckers, running round with two or three people on them. Surely we could have more minibuses, which would be cheaper to run.
Wouldn't it cost a fortune to buy a fleet of minibuses, though?
They'd soon pay for themselves. I mean, the fuel bill alone is £2 million a year for these huge gas-guzzling buses. Obviously, on the main routes, you need them. And, you know, mornings and evenings, peak time, they fill. But in between times, they just run round empty and they're guzzling fuel.
All right, we're pretty much out of time. But, David Fowler, tell the people of Douglas South why they should vote for you.
Because I care passionately about the Isle of Man, and I want to see it flourish. I want everyone to have better lives. I want the economy to grow, and I want to see everyone have jobs and happiness.
Candidate for Douglas South, David Fowler, thanks for joining us today.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.